Hello, I'm Will Stein, and welcome to Geography Island Jams. This podcast is in the same style as the BBC Radio 4 Desert Island Disc series, whereby each episode I ask my interviewee what 8 songs, book, and luxury item they would want to take with them if they were stranded on a desert island. For rights reasons, the music has not been included in the podcast. You can find links to the 8 songs on the LSE Geography and Environment website. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Geography Island Jams. With me today, I have second year BA geographer, Charlotte Harabin. Charlotte was born and grew up in Berkshire, a county just west of London. Outside of being a geographer, she's a member of LSE Dance and predominantly does lyrical and ballet. Her passion for dance can be seen through her achievement in receiving her Cecchetti Grade 6 Ballet. Charlotte has also gotten involved in multiple hackathons. Her greatest achievement, her team becoming international finalists in the Global Clean Tech Challenge. Living up to the geography stereotype, Charlotte completed her Duke of Edinburgh Award after receiving her Gold Award earlier this year. In addition to clearly enjoying a good hike, Charlotte loves immersing herself in different cultures. She loves to travel, which includes taking part in a school exchange where she spent 2 weeks studying in India. Welcome, Charlotte.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So first, I wanted to ask about the hackathons. So can you tell me about the experience becoming the Global Clean Tech Challenge international finalists?
So we found this hackathon in January, myself and the 4 other team members, my friends, who I competed with. And we had to come up with a sustainable solution. And we came up with a way to replace plastic clothing tags on clothing with magnetic ink. So we, for the first round, we had to submit, I think it was 200 words, just about the idea. And that was at the end of January. And then as we progressed to the second stage, we had to create a 20 slide deck for the entire business idea. And that got us through kind of the national stages. And then once we passed that, we got into the international final. And at that point, we had several workshops with industry experts. And then I gave the 10-minute final pitch to the judges for the end of the hackathon. And we were up against some amazing teams, some of which had already sold products in other countries, which we all found rather daunting. But we were really proud of ourselves at the end.
That's so exciting. So how in depth do you have to go? Like, to get to the final, do you need to have it like a known way to how to produce it and have it all costed out? Like, to what stage do you have it developed to?
I mean, ours was very much an idea. We didn't have a physical prototype, but we had researched a lot, and we did a whole pricing and costs analysis. Well, I say we, one of my teammates, she took that side, but we did, as a team, we had calculated all the costs and all the numerical side of the business plan, as well as the technical side to a certain extent.
And what would you say to someone who's not done a hackathon before?
I would say definitely throw yourself in and go and do it. None of us had ever done hackathons before. We had no idea what we were doing. Thankfully, Dr. Jason Wong, who was actually our lecturer for GY121, he mentored us all the way through and was really helpful. But when it came down to it, you know, we didn't have previous experience, and yet we got to the global finals. So anything's possible.
Brilliant. So now moving on to the music, can you tell me about the first song you'll be taking with you?
Sure. So the first song would be Rule the World by Take That. This is a song that always reminds me of growing up. I always listened to it in the car on the way to school. And so it just brings back good memories for me.
Great. And that leads us perfectly on to next few questions. So as I said in the introduction, you spent the majority of your life growing up in Berkshire. How would you describe it to people who've never been before? So like maybe like a international student who's not left London, how would you describe Berkshire to them?
I would explain it as the complete opposite of London. It's completely green. There's very few buildings. It's not as densely compact as London, clearly. So I live in a tiny village. It doesn't have a shop. It has one pub, a kind of pub / B&B. And then we just go on walks all the time and go cycling and all of that just across the fields, which just has amazing views, but I would definitely say it's completely unlike London, but you should definitely go 100%.
I think you might have answered my next question, but I was going to ask if you have any favourite restaurants or cafes, but it seems like you've just got the choice of one.
Unfortunately, yes.
What if you expand out in, so obviously Berkshire's huge, but you know, if you could go anywhere in Berkshire, would it change? Or do you stick to the same, your local pub?
I definitely recommend rural pubs, because I think they're an experience. Whatever, if it's the village I live in, if it's a different village, you have to go to an English pub. There's nothing like it, and it's different to the pubs in London as well. You know, they have a different vibe. So
you went to school at Downhouse School. What do you remember most from that time?
I remember making really close friendships. It was boarding school, so we all became really good friends, because we've lived with each other for some of my friends I've only known for 5 years, but some of them I've lived with for 7 years, including a term in France. So yeah, we're really good friends all the time.
And what would you say is your best story from your days in school?
My best story is probably the time I was in a choir at school, and we won the senior choir of the year, Bernardo's, which was really, really amazing. It was actually the second year the school had won, but a different choir went the first year. So it was the first time I'd won. It was really amazing.
Well, is that nationwide?
Yes, it's nationwide. That was amazing. Yes, and one of the other choirs had sung on all these film tracks, like Life of Pi, which was crazy and quite daunting competitions. That was amazing.
I know, that was very impressive indeed then. So now moving on to the second song, can you tell me what it is and if there's any reasons why you're taking it with you?
Yeah, so my second song would be No Time to Die by Billie Eilish. Quite a big James Bond fan, and this song I kind of links with that. It's obviously the theme tune for the new James Bond film. So I was a bit apprehensive about it at first. I wasn't sure if it would be like as good as I kind of expected, but I really fell in love with it over lockdown. So it became my top song of the year on Spotify.
Oh really? Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
You always know, yeah, if it makes it that, you must have definitely listened to it a good amount.
Crazy, but
anyway. So also in school, you did the 2-week exchange in India. Can you tell me a bit more about that experience?
Sure. So I went to India for 2 weeks with a girl from the year below me who I didn't know that well. We stayed for a week with a family in a city just outside Amritsar, which was an amazing experience to actually live with an Indian family. And they took us to Amritsar, to the Golden Temple. They also took us to the border of Pakistan, which was quite amazing given the geopolitical implications of that. And then we also got to celebrate Diwali with them, which was absolutely incredible. No experience like it, I have to say. And so then after that, we went to the school, which is Wellam Girls School, which is in the foothills of the Himalayas, which had just had the most amazing landscape. I spent a week there. It was definitely a life-changing experience. It was very different to me. It was also a boarding school, but at my school, the biggest rooms were of six. And there, the whole year group in that house, which was about kind of 15 girls, all slept in the same room. So that was very different. And then all their lessons were different. They used to get up at about 5 in the morning for sport, which was definitely a new experience. But I definitely made lifelong friends there.
I was sort of leading into my next one, but what do you think were the biggest differences in education from you going to school in India compared to going in England?
I think it was much stricter in India. My school was relatively strict, I guess, compared to, you know, the average British school, but there were things like every girl got up and went to sport. There wasn't really an excuse for you not doing sport in the morning. they were hugely strict on uniform. You know, every girl turned up to lessons with all the right belongings all the time, whereas at my school, maybe if you didn't have it, you'd maybe have a bit of leeway.
Can you now tell me about the third song?
Sure. So the third song is Donna Nobis Pacem 2 by Max Richter. This is another song that I really fell in love with over lockdown. And I love how it grows. And within the song, it just becomes all-encompassing, the music, as it kind of crescendos throughout the song. And then every time I listen to it, I hear a new part of the music, which is quite incredible.
So you've just finished a COVID Michaelmas term at LSE.
Yes.
How have you found the online hybrid experience?
I found it a bit different at first. I was kind of used to going into campus every day at kind of 8 or 9 and then working throughout the day and then going back to halls in the evening. Whereas this term, I was kind of doing a lecture online in the morning, then going to class for an hour and then coming back to my flat to work. So that was very different. I did find that it worked quite well. I have to say, especially lectures online, it meant I could kind of manage my time more. And I think I found I had more time somehow not going to campus all the time, which was quite useful as the term got busier, I have to say.
What would you say is your least favourite things about this term compared to a pre-COVID, you know, LSE life?
I think not meeting people in campus. You know, last year I really loved being able to go to the Geography Common Room and just meeting people and just ended up chatting and not getting my work done when I should have been. Whereas this term I'd see people in class or I'd like arrange to meet someone, but I wouldn't randomly bump into someone and have a conversation. And then of course there's all my international friends who I couldn't see, which was also a shame.
And then I'm sure there's something, but do you have any favourite or what do you think is the best things that you've now got from, you know, this experience, the hybrid online extravaganza, whatever you want to call it?
I quite like the lectures are recorded, actually. For some of my modules, I have pre-recorded lectures. And that does mean that if there's something I don't quite understand, I can go back and re-listen to it. And I think particularly when it comes around to exam time, you know, I can go back and re-listen to the lectures as part of revision, which I think will be really useful.
And then looking back over your whole LSE experience to date, what do you think has been your favourite experience so far?
I think it's got to be the Geography Ball. I mean, that was just like such a fun night. I got to go with my friends, but I feel like I made stronger friends while I was there. And it was just a whole part of the LSE experience. I feel really sorry for first years who are not going to get that this year. But hopefully next year.
Yeah, let's hope. But you never know. We'll see what the COVID situation is, but maybe it'll be a Geography Summer Ball instead of a Winter Ball this year. See what Mariella's got planned. You know, what the government allows her to do.
Indeed.
Fab, now your fourth song, what is it and if there's any reasons why?
Yeah, so this I chose for similar reasons to my third song. It's called In the Shirt by the Irrepressibles. Also fell in love with it also during lockdown. It's also very all-encompassing, I find. But somehow the words I find really poignant and really speak to me and really important.
So as I previously said, you've achieved grade 6 in Cicchetti Ballet. Is that pronounced correctly?
Yeah.
Fab. Yes. Cicchetti Ballet. And you were meant to perform the LSE Dance Show last year, but unfortunately, due to coronavirus, wasn't able to go ahead. So when did you first start dancing?
I can't remember the exact age, but it was probably about 5, I'd say. I started with ballet. I'd actually only really done ballet before I came to LSE. I'd done a bit of contemporary. I was captain of the dance team at school, so I'd done a bit of kind of contemporary and jazz within that, but it predominantly been ballet. And then I came to LSE, wanted to try something new. My friend convinced me to go to Lyrical, and I just really enjoyed it. I ended up becoming Lyrical rep last year and continued that this year. So,
yeah. Wow. So what does it mean being Lyrical rep? What is like a
job? It's more of an admin role, I'll be honest. This year it involves setting up the Zoom call for the teacher, just taking class payments, and then sending out the recordings to anyone who's requested them and purchased them. So
someone's got to do it at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I really enjoy it. It's nice being on the committee because you really get to know people in dance.
Mm. And what do you enjoy most about dancing?
I love just being able to forget everything else that's going on and just dance, and it helps me clear my head. Which I really like at any time if I'm stressed or any really feeling, it just allows me to kind of let that all out, which I really enjoy.
And do you have any other pastimes that you've developed since starting LSE?
Well, this term I actually started lacrosse again. I played at school, and then I didn't join last year. But this year I decided with lockdown, I wanted to be able to get out a bit and exercise. So I joined lacrosse. That was actually really fun. I'm on the first team. We got to play one match before it was cancelled, but that was really fun. We lost, but it was still fun.
Now moving on to song number 5. Can you let me know what it is and reasons why?
Yeah, so my 5th song is The Lord's My Shepherd, arranged by Will Todd. This goes back to Bernardo's Senior Choir of the Year. This is the song we sung when we won, so brings back happy memories of that.
So now, a bit of travelling. You told me that you went travelling around Namibia. Was it this year you went?
It was last year. It was September 2019, just before I started.
Fab, yeah. Can you just tell me a bit more about the trip and any highlights you have from it?
Sure. So it was actually one of my favorite holidays ever. I went with my parents. We hired a car and we drove all the way around Namibia. First we went to the safari and kind of did safaris. We saw like elephants, zebras. We saw a lion, which was amazing. And then we kind of drove down towards the coast through the most amazing landscapes, and we ended up while we were there staying in a mining town. So we stayed in this guest house, and all the miners came in for dinner, which was definitely a new experience, not something you get in a kind of intercontinental hotel. And then we continued to the desert, which had the most amazing dunes because they're red sand dunes rather than your kind of typical desert yellow sand dunes, and they were just absolutely incredible. And we also saw an oryx of the dune, and I have like the most amazing picture of this oryx with this red dune behind. It's just absolutely beautiful. And then we kind of that was kind of the end of the holiday, but it was just absolutely incredible, and I definitely recommend to anyone just to go, especially now because not many people know about Namibia. It doesn't have that many tourists obviously COVID dependent. After COVID, I would definitely recommend just go.
So those red dunes, how red are we talking? Is it like a LSE red or a light red?
It depends on the light with the sun, but it's more kind of orangey red, but it's kind of, yeah.
And do you have anywhere in the world you're most keen to travel to next? Obviously in a post-corona world, but as soon as it becomes a thing again.
I'd really like to go to America. I have this plan in my head that I could fly to New York and then drive all the way across America and just see everything in the middle, which I think would be quite incredible, but would require a lot of time to do. So it's not really on the books yet.
And with all this traveling, I imagine you've tried a wide range of different foods. Do you have a favorite cuisine? And if so, could you narrow it down to one dish?
I really like Indian food, I have to say. I think my favorite food probably has to be butter chicken, like Indian cooked butter chicken, just because like it's so simple but tastes absolutely amazing. However, if I was going to a Indian restaurant in the UK, I always go for biryani. It's my go-to.
Amazing. So now moving on to some more music. Can you tell me about song number 6?
Sure. So song number 6 is Forever by Lewis Capaldi. I've become a huge Lewis Capaldi fan. Love his entire album. But this song I think is really special. It's also not as overplayed as some of the other songs. So it's kind of, it's remained, what's the word? It's remained a song that I haven't really become bored of because it hasn't been overplayed. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense or not.
And I understand. Okay. Well, if no one else listening does, I think I'm on your page. So we're now moving on to the Daylesford. So you work at Daylesford, organic farm shop owned by Lady Calgray Bamford. Can you tell me a bit more about what the shop is and what it's like working for Lady Bamford?
Sure. So the shop is it was originally just a food shop that's expanded over time into homeware, clothing, spa, and a restaurant, which is where I work. And it's all focused on sustainability and being organic. So I think, so pretty much everything is organic on the farm, and the vast majority of the food sold is made on the farm, on site where I work. And it's a whole ethos, which is really, really exciting to be part of. And as I said, I work in the restaurant, which makes food, which was also grown on the farm. So it kind of all links together.
And outside of the restaurant, what would you say is your favourite department?
I'd say the food. The food is amazing at Daylesford, all the food. So I definitely say the food.
Now moving on to song number 7. Can you let me know what it is and any reasons why?
Sure. So song number 7 is Hymn for the Weekend by Coldplay. Really, really like Coldplay, and this was one of my favourite songs, and also a favourite song of my friends. So we always got really excited together when it started playing, when the introduction started playing. So always reminds me of her and happy times.
So now moving on to the last few questions. Do you have any pet peeves, anything which bothers you way more than anything else?
I feel like it's a classic London thing, but slow walkers. I just can't deal with it. And I was at Northumberland House last year, so I walked up and down the Strand every day, of which there are a lot of slow walking tourists, which always got to me. So.
Finally, what would you say is your favourite thing about being part of the LSE?
I think it's the friends you can make. It's just such a wide-ranging and diverse set of people that you're always going to find people who are similar to you and people to be friends with. And because they're international, you then have friends who are international. You're not constrained to just people in the UK, which I think is amazing.
Very nice. And now moving on to your last song, can you tell me about song number 8 and any reasons why?
Sure. So song number 8 is Forbidden Voices by Martin Garrix. Huge Martin Garrix fan. And I just love this song. It's one of his earlier songs, and just think it's amazing.
So as you know, you're allowed to take with you the Bible, the beverage report, and a book of your choice. What is the book you're going to be taking with you?
So the book is Eruptions That Shook the World by Clive Oppenheimer. Clive Oppenheimer is a professor of volcanology at Cambridge University, and in this book he talks about how eruptions have influenced the way humans have developed over time, starting with kind of their migration out of Africa, and then kind of over time the development of that. And I just found that really interesting. It's the the part of geography I think I most enjoy. And so this really spoke to that.
And now for your luxury item?
Sure, my luxury item would be a camera. Whenever I'm traveling, I can't go without my camera. I always take so many thousands of photos, so definitely couldn't go without my camera.
We have plenty of time to take pictures on the island. And last, but by no means the least, your quote of choice.
So my quote of choice is, "The only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing," which was said by Henry Ford, which I think is really important. I very much learn personally by making mistakes, and I think that is something that can really help you to learn.
Well, Charlotte, that brings us to the end. Thank you very much for telling me about your Geography Island Jams.
Thank you so much for having me.